It's Wednesday, March 18th. There's not really much of March left. Things are moving slowly and quickly because things that we can't talk about.
And this week has been an ongoing, a continuation of the trend of everything being canceled. And we'll kind of talk about them quickly. There's not much to say other than everything's canceled. But here's a question. How much effort do you think they will put into, and what exactly will they do when they say they're going to do everything online? Is that going to be like just a fancy website?
Sometimes it's like Minecraft Education Edition. If you get an EDU Microsoft account, you can get Minecraft Education Edition, which is meant for teachers to lead students inside Minecraft.
That would be cool if you had to rebuild your E3 booth in Minecraft. That would actually be probably very effective as a marketing strategy. Although the griefers would have such a good time.
Maybe we'll do a live stream this week if everything's not horribly on fire with having to deal with shenanigans.
So anyway, they've all promised they're going to do something. Nobody's sure exactly what that will be, how you'll participate, if you'll participate, how they're going to present things. But they're going down like flies.
E3 2020 has been canceled. Updated. ESA announces that it will not hold the massive game marketing event for the first time since 1995. The 1995 cancellation? The launch of Windows 95. Everybody thought it was the second coming of Christ, but it was actually not.
And in the, not exactly an event cancellation, but a work from home edict,
Google is recommending that all EMEA employees work from home over fears of the thing that cannot be named. Steve from Gamers Nexus calls it human malware, which is a pretty good way of describing it.
And then every uncreative piece of human garbage in the comments repeats it ad nauseum until I hate it. Congratulations. But one big exception on the old Google campus.
Google and Facebook contractors are still expected on-site amid the outbreak while full-time staff works remote. Ooh. If ever you needed a data point to indicate you're a second-class citizen.
Now, Google responded to this, and they're like, some of those people have jobs that require them to be there physically, and we're not really playing favorites or anything. But a lot of these guys also responded, and they're like, no, my job does not require me to do that kind of thing.
I just run programs.
So I could totally do this from home. And continuing on with the list.
Apple moves the Worldwide Developers Conference online due to reasons.
Again, not sure how that's going to work. It's going to be interesting to see how creative they can get in such a short amount of time as far as how they present it online.
I don't know about WWDC, but they don't usually announce products there. Not really. But it'll be interesting to see how they do announce new products.
One thing about Apple that was interesting is a lot of people were complaining they were told to work from home, but then the insane security for getting in remotely at Apple stopped them from working from home.
I could check my email remotely. That's about it.
But one very bold thing that it seems like Apple is going forward with is a product launch under the nobody leaves their house rules. And you got to wonder how successful this will be.
MacBooks with Apple design processors coming late 2020 or early 2021, and all new designs to follow in mid 2021. So this is on Mac rumors. It could be a rumor. It may not be really true. But thinking about those Apple keynotes, like the one with Steve Jobs when he launched Macintosh, and those would be just as effective online as in the stadium. So I don't think there's really any great loss in doing those online.
He might not get that like ego stroking feedback because, you know, everybody in that audience.
What is that?
Is just a shill. And I love the when they rolled out the $1,000 stand, even those people couldn't react in a positive way.
Like, wait, what? What?
Come on, man. We'll do almost anything for you, but that's you've taken it too far. And you noticed that we are being very careful not to say a certain word. And if you're wondering why, if you've been living under a rock,
Bloomberg has the article.
Not everybody's allowed to say that word. Only the official channels.
Google scrubs misinformation on search and YouTube, according to this article in Bloomberg. So, yeah, I mean, you know, just imagine if you're just you know, some couple of backwater yokels that are just
reading the stories that are supposedly okay.
Yeah, it's not allowed. It's not a thing.
And they're very aggressive about that. There is, you can sort of give them a little bit of leeway here because there are a lot of people trying to, you know, capitalize on it and give misinformation. It is a great way to get clicks, but I don't know. I think the lesser evil is to let people communicate.
You guys didn't even get notices last week that we had done anything, and we had. We've done everything.
And Bill Gates, well known for his work and when it comes to diseases and that kind of thing, it seems like that is his hobby now. He wants to destroy malaria and all sorts of other kind of diseases. And I think he saw this as like a great opportunity for him to shine and flex his billions of dollars.
Bill Gates has funded a program that will soon offer home testing kits for that thing that we aren't going to talk about.
The forbidden popcorn chicken, as we see here in this blurry photo.
Forbidden nugget.
If you're excited and you're like, where can I write to and get my kit? Well, for now, it's only for Seattle.
Yeah.
But hopefully, everywhere can get it. The other kind of scary thing here, a lot of people, I'm not necessarily saying that there's any truth to this, but a lot of people have theories about very malicious intentions from some of Bill Gates' projects.
Maybe
the stated goal isn't really the goal. And you do have to send your DNA to Bill Gates to get this. The testing, it's not like a pregnancy test. You don't get like a little line on it. You send it in and they call you and tell you. So, more than the government's doing, I suppose. Well, one technology that could not come any sooner, God, what a great time to have this, if only we had it everywhere, would be now. Could really capitalize on this. And unfortunately, it probably won't come out anytime soon because who's going to install it? But maybe for the next time this happens.
Amazon is now selling its cashierless store technology to other retailers. So the technology that Amazon developed for Amazon Go could soon be available at your local Target, Walmart, Kroger, Meijer, Wegmans, whatever is local to you.
It's called Just Walk Out. And it's the whole, they're saying that you don't even have to swipe a credit card.
It just knows who you are.
I guess maybe like a chip or something. And yeah, you just get what you want and you leave. And you can go to a kiosk and get your receipt, or it emails your receipt. Again, how does it know my email?
The horrible Chinese-style facial recognition
and
the vast, vast Amazon database.
Yeah.
I think the cashierless thing, though, probably, I mean, I'm just imagining a future where I'm watching these sort of boring dystopia videos where everybody's going through and there's like a shopping cart that they're only buying toilet paper. And it's like, you can't eat toilet paper. You realize that, right? And the omnipresent Hal's like, I'm sorry, Dave. You can't buy that much toilet paper.
Your shopping cart like just dumps it out onto the floor. No.
Those anti-theft wheels just lock it up right there in the aisle. It's like, you can't push it. It's like, no, you can't have this.
I mean, honestly, the toilet paper hoarding.
What's wrong with people?
I don't understand it. But it's one of those items that, yeah, it might be a lot less comfortable, but there's so many alternatives. So many.
The Europeans in our audience are laughing in bidet right now.
Until the water company shuts down.
How do you hoard that? You just turn your faucets on and fill up your bathtub?
Well, you should hoard all the water you want. Where you're just going to splash it like a cat? You don't have the jets. We talked about in the government section, AT&T agreed not to cancel anybody's account during...
For non-payment.
This dark time for the next 60 days. I think it was some other ISPs as well. And the FCC kind of demanded that, I believe. But AT&T has gone a little bit further and given us, in their infinite, beneficial, what's the word? I can't think of the word.
Benevolence.
Benevolence. And their infinite benevolence, they're giving us, the poor peons, something that we don't deserve. It's disgusting.
AT&T has suspended broadband data caps during the crisis. Wait a minute. Doesn't that mean that the data caps were just BS all along and there was no technical reason to have them if they're suspended now? And there's a record number of people at home using those data pipes? Those data pipes are clogged. It's not like a dump truck. Now everybody's using it.
The tubes can, in fact, take all the extra data, and they can, in fact, suspend all those extra charges, and they can, in fact, not cancel people for non-payment and still make money. Incredible. Although I'm sure they're going to get some of that, those billions of dollars that are coming out of the emergency fund, right?
Yeah.
Some of that's got to be earmarked.
Yeah.
If some of that is not earmarked for the ISPs, then Ajit Pai is not doing his job.
We know that he's. So guaranteed, that's probably the thing.
And speaking of those overage charges and the ridiculous amount that people pay for those bills, although in this case not ISPs, cable. Cable is a very high bill. Mine is way less than this. What's yours?
Mine was right in line with this.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Are you counting your internet?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not counting my internet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I guess I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
The average cable bill now exceeds all other household utility bills combined, and it was like $217. And I would have gotten rid of that, but there are mitigating reasons why. Soon, though.
I was like, okay, you can give me TV because you're going to give it to me for less than I would get not getting TV. And then I let it expire, and as they planned,
yes,
I still haven't called them up.
Yeah.
Which...
That's my situation,
yeah.
Because it was about $50 less, and then the last time I looked at it, it was like, what is this robbery?
Yeah, and it's automatic payments, yeah. And that's what they talk about here. So many people are like, yep, sure, just give me the automatic payments, and boy, those are some strange numbers. Now, my electricity goes well above this because my air conditioning and my heating unit is 20 years old. So I think maybe once I get that replaced, I'll be right in line with...
Right before ours died, it was like... $280 a month, and now it's like
$70. Wow. So it seems like that would pay for itself pretty quickly. Yeah. Maybe I should look into that this spring. Well, did you guys talk about Apple and their sales announcement last week?
Where they were closing?
Their guidance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The guidance is down.
It's like, we didn't sell anywhere near as many iPhones this year. Well, that is not going to be a rare story. That's not like Apple is an outlier here.
Report, Huawei expects a 20% drop in Android smartphone sales this year. Not just because of the trade ban, but also because of a lot of other things in a lot of other markets. Even though there's not a trade ban, for example, in Taiwan, they're not selling as many phones in Taiwan. It's sort of a mess.
It's almost like people just aren't leaving their homes to buy new phones. Weird how that works.
Or they're trying to get by on their 2 or 3 year old phone because why not?
Because maybe they're not getting any paychecks.
Yeah.
For some reason. The U.S. stock market kind of fell off a cliff this month. And, well, it started last month. Real bad couple of weeks there. Real bad. Historically bad. And in the past, when the stock market goes down, you can almost count on other things going up, like cryptocurrencies. But it seems like when things are really, really bad and people are trying to make margin calls, everything goes down.
Crypto carnage wipes out the 2020 gains for Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple's XRP, Litecoin, and Bitcoin Cash. So all of those crypto coins had gone up a fair bit in 2020.
They were about, I think, about $8,000 for Bitcoin.
And it's down to like six right at the time that we're filming this?
I think it hit like 55 at the trough. And yeah, back around six.
Remember the days when it was like
$20?
$20,000?
Oh, 18. It never broke 20. Yeah, I really wish I remember those days as the days when I sold. I'm still profitable, though, even with this.
Yeah.
Because I was like way back when. But yeah, you still feel so stupid when it's like, wow, I really should have got rid of that. But I bought a tiny amount of Bitcoin because we've got the halvening coming up this summer.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's got to go up, right?
We should, while everything's quarantined and shut down, we should go to the local landfill and look through old computers for Bitcoin wallets.
What a terrible thing to do. Your success rate would be like 0.0001%.
But if you were successful.
But let's think about what else might be in the landfill for, 6 days?
Yeah, that's a little problematic.
Yeah. People suing over patents is a constant, well, not people, corporations suing other corporations for patents. It's a constant thing. That is a big part of how companies make money these days. And one of those companies is IBM. They have a lot of patents.
IBM takes Airbnb to court over historic patents. So IBM has the most incredible patent war chest probably of any other company on planet Earth.
I think we did a story about that. They do have the most.
So whatever Airbnb has done has really pissed off Big Blue. So this is going to be a case that we're going to follow throughout the Level 1 news and report on how that's going. Because if Big Blue chooses to monetize its patent portfolios, because historically it really hasn't. It's entered into, like, with larger companies like Oracle and Microsoft and whatever, it's basically a, we won't sue you if you promise not to sue us, as like a cross-licensing thing, and that's basically how it operates. But Airbnb must not have been willing to negotiate with IBM, and this is what happens.
And one thing to consider here, who knows how long this will take to play out, but the Airbnb war chest is going to be diminished. Because the travel industry has been particularly hard hit by the recent developments. So, real bad time for them. Real bad time to be in a costly court case. And we talked about last episode, so that there was a Mars mission, and everybody's like, oh, you're delaying this because everybody's delaying anything. And they're like, no, we kind of just screwed up. We didn't test everything. And I think this is another situation where the thing that we can't talk about can't really be blamed for failure. This was just a bad product.
Augmented reality startup Magic Leap reportedly considering selling itself. I can't make it through the headline without laughing, because it's like, since the first time we reported on Magic Leap, it was like, this is what's going to happen. And here we are, you know, 2 or 3 years later, we're like, this is how this is going to play out. We were right.
I'm picturing it like on the side of the street approaching men in cars. It's like, you want to do some AR for $20? I'll show you some whales.
I've got this amazing boulder animation, but that's all I have.
We talked about this before. They projected sales of 100,000 units, actual sales, 6,000 units. For those of you who are bad at math,
that's a lot.
That's terrible. That's real bad. That's,
I don't think they even made them. Like, there's just not a, warehouse full of these headsets somewhere.
Why would you?
Yeah.
And perhaps, I probably won't come in time, but for those of you who are more rural and are currently trapped in your home and unable to play Counter-Strike, you know, Counter-Strike, over 1 million concurrent users for the first time ever this week.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
A lot of people at home. But if you can't do that because of your crappy internet connection, maybe the next time this happens, or if it were to persist for years, you've got some good news.
Elon Musk says that the Starlink latency will be good enough for competitive gaming. He figures it's going to be about 20 milliseconds before they ramp it up and have a ton more satellites, in which case it may actually even be less. But he said this is not going to be good for anybody in heavily populated or congested areas, big cities, things like that, because there's just not enough bandwidth.
You kind of got to wonder, though, if he's saying that because he wants the big ISPs to take their sights off of him. He's like, no. You get to keep the cities. I'm just taking these guys you don't want to run service to. But then when it rolls out, he's like, no, we're just going to keep putting satellites up there until we take over everything.
Probably a little column A, a little column B.
Well, you can't say that he is not successful. Of course, you know, he had PayPal was his thing, and he sold that for big dollars, and he took on Tesla, and everybody said Tesla is not going to make it. Well,
Tesla just made its 1 millionth car, and it's a red Model Y. So Elon Musk sent a congratulatory tweet or email or something to the company and said, hey, we just had our 1 millionth car. Congratulations, everybody. This has been a wild ride, blah, blah, blah.
Get back to work.
Yeah.
And
it's been a rough ride. I mean,
it's been interesting, for sure. And a lot of people have said that Tesla is not good in the future, because right now they don't have any competition. But what happens when all the other car companies roll out their EV programs? And perhaps this is a little preview.
Honda Clarity Electric quietly discontinued for 2020. After the Clarity's demise, Honda will not offer any totally electric cars in the U.S. The hotness among the big auto industry is hybrid, where you've got a small engine that's charging batteries and providing a little bit of extra torque.
So, I don't know, though. I mean, the hybrids are usually low performance.
Not always.
But they're not like the big electric engines in the Tesla.
No.
So, I would not say those two were competitors, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think Tesla offers anything that's in that same class of car. Mm-hmm. But somebody might, eventually. Coding boot camps. I've only got empirical evidence, but from what I've seen,
it's not good.
Bad idea. Don't go to a coding boot camp. And one of their big things that they do is they guarantee, it's kind of like that 2-day Amazon delivery guarantee. And that's, if they don't do it, it's just like, whatever. We don't have to do anything for you. We just say that. But they guarantee that they will place you in a job. And you will have certain benefits from them. They even go so far as to do the whole, like, they get a piece of your future revenue
thing. Yeah, that's the catch.
Yeah. But they're saying, hey, it's going to be such a great job. You're not going to miss that 10%. Because you're going to have this amazing, Silicon Valley job. You're going to be one of those hipsters. It's going to be great. Not always.
Lambda School threatens ex-employee for coming forward about conditions at the coding camp. So this is a follow-up story on The Verge, which is itself a story about a story that happened on The Verge. So The Verge published a story about Lambda School. Lambda School figured out that it was a story from an ex-employee that had a non-disclosure agreement, and so they threatened to sue her.
She was not complimentary.
No. I could see, like, a boot camp school like that being, like, if you were a 10-year programmer of, like, say, ladder logic, and you wanted to get into web development. It's like you already knew how to program, you knew the concepts, and you knew the stuff, but you didn't know any of the tools, outside of ladder logic development for web development. I could see a boot camp being useful in that very narrow scenario where it's like you're going to learn the tools and the lingo and the languages and that kind of thing. But just a random person off the street, it doesn't seem like that would end well.
I also think people make the mistake, and this is true of college as well. And in some ways, this was true of me, although I had attempted it on my own more than I think a lot of people have. They go into it with very little knowledge of whatever it is they want to study. It's just like, hey, I want to be X, and I'm going to go to school, and they're going to completely train me to be X. When in reality, you should have been exploring what it's like to be X long before you go to a university setting. I think that's what happens with a lot of these boot camps as well.
Yeah. So I have no idea how to be a programmer unless I go to a boot camp. No. You just start studying. You just start tinkering with stuff long before then. It'll be fine.
That'll be infinitely better.
Yeah.
Because, then you know what you can't figure out. And then there's a whole bunch of people who can tell you.
Yeah.
How to figure that out and help you along the way. I think also the thing about these is they hire from within. So you can go through the boot camp, never get a real job, and start teaching boot camp, which is just a terrible cycle.
Someone that happened to someone in their audience. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Sonos had this terrible idea recently that you get to trade in your old software or hardware for 30% off, but in doing so, you must irreparably destroy the hardware. The internet was not kind.
Sonos decides that bricking old stuff is not a winning move after all. So you would put your Sonos in recycle mode, which is an impossible to fix brick mode that just turns it into a slab of plastic and metal. Not useful to anybody. The internet didn't react well, as you said. And now they're like, you know what? It's okay. We're not going to do that anymore.
But here's the catch. You still won't get updates on those devices. And they don't guarantee, which I think if you read between the lines means it's not going to happen. For future phones and stuff, it won't interface with them.
See, that's insane. I have a network laser printer at home that is older. I mean, it's 10 megabit. It's so old, it's 10 megabit. It is legit, like, has compatibility issues with gigabit switches because gigabit switches are like, I'm negotiating 10 megabit. Is that real? Is that a thing? But it still works. It still has an IP address. I can still send jobs to it. I don't understand why smart speakers are not that standardized at this point. Like, it's a speaker. It plays sound. It has certain audio capabilities. Send it a bit stream that it converts to audio.
Well, that's the thing. I think we talked about this last time we talked about Sonos, is there's no reason for the processing portion of the speaker to be inside the speaker. It should be, at most, it should be a little module that you unplug and plug in the new version.
I've got to imagine the print driver on my computer is like, wow, we're really chunking the pixels here on this one. All right, let's send it to it at carrier pigeon speed. All right, one page per minute. All right, we printed the job.
But my speakers I'm using at home are Pioneer speakers from 1998. And you know what? Those little copper wires are just fine. You get a new amplifier, but the speakers remain the same. That's how it should be.
For a channel that's on the edge of technology, we sound awfully Luddite. But hey.
But they're speakers. You don't have to have cutting-edge speakers. I can save all that money. Buy toilet paper. It's beautiful. So when it comes to the future of gaming, we have all these new technologies. We got the cloud, which people are like, I don't know what to think about the cloud. We got augmented reality, and we just saw how that's going. VR, did the Half-Life game come out?
Oh, yeah. I think it's this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got to try that.
Wow, a lot of people have plenty of time to play that.
Yeah. Gabe Newell's probably real happy about this. He's
you
just
think
like,
he was behind this
yeah,
all along?
Yeah.
Brilliantly timed it so that North America got hit. But obviously not everybody has those things, and you just want to, if you want to run out, you're not going to pay $1,000 on something you're not sure about. We got to play with one because of a YouTube channel, and it definitely changed my mind about VR.
Yeah.
Like, I would give VR no chance, but after having played with it, I was like, maybe. And Target seems to have figured this out as well, and they're going to give you a chance to play with these newfangled devices.
Target quietly opens a concept store for the future of gaming. And I think a picture is worth 1,000 words, so yeah. I mean, it's just the battle section, gaming PCs and VR headsets, and you can just try all this stuff. Target, I think they were one of the first ones to have playable Wii kiosks. And I think that's part of what helped sell the Wii, because the interface for the Nintendo Wii was kind of weird because it had the motion controller thing and everybody was kind of like, I don't know about this. But they had a playable one in store and it was a lot of fun to play with. That's where I first played a Wii, was in a Target store.
I remember when Nintendo came out. NES, the NES, the original one. Yes, we're old. There was a department store and they had one and it had a cartridge in it that had like all the first party Nintendo games, and they had just a little thing hooked up to the plug so that it reset itself every 10 minutes. And there was a line out the store of people, and like, you get up there, you pick your game, you play it for 10 minutes, then it reset, and then you had to go back and get back in the line. And I thought, man, this is the greatest, you know, like, sales thing in the world, because so many people just picked one up and walked out.
It's like, all right, I'm into this.
I have to have this. Yeah, I must enjoy more of this.
I really want to see like a 700-pound, 60-year-old lady playing Beat Saber at a Target.
That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? The weird thing about it, though, not everything's for sale at that place.
Yeah.
So I think like Stadia was one of the things they mentioned. You could play it, but you can't buy it yet.
Well, you can order it online from there. It was like they had a QR code where you could look like you could get it online or something. Maybe they get a commission from that.
But still a cool idea. I imagine the thing that we found out about VR is sharing VR is nasty. And sharing VR with strangers, especially now. It's too bad Chris is not here because I love to attack her when it comes to password sharing. Because she does it. And she's unapologetic about it. And the thing about password sharing is, in the rules, you're not allowed to give out your password. Now, specifically, your password. But what if you didn't have to give out your password to share with your friends and family?
Do Not Pay now lets you share online subscriptions without divulging your password. Do Not Pay, the digital lottery that shot to prominence, you know, last year, we've covered Do Not Pay for a lot of things. There's a lot of componentry that they do now. They have this cool browser extension for Chrome. It does not share your password. So basically, you log in with your password, which generates a session cookie, and then the plugin securely shares the session cookie with whoever you give a URL to. So even the Do Not Pay website, because the key is generated on your machine, and it's like a, and then the machine that you want to share with has to talk to your machine basically through the extension. Even the Do Not Pay people, they say does not have access to that encrypted session cookie. So I log into Netflix, I get a session cookie from Netflix, and then I could share it with Ryan, and he never knows my password. And if I want to, I can also revoke that session cookie through do not pay, log out, whatever. And then I get a new session cookie from Netflix, and his isn't going to work anymore unless I reshare it with him.
And they cannot get to your settings, because that requires that you confirm your password on almost every service. I love the Choosing Beggars subreddit. There's so many stories about people sharing their Netflix password only to get the password changed.
Yeah.
And when they complain, people are like, you're selfish.
My favorite one from there was somebody shared their Netflix account, and they had like the most basic tier Netflix account. Oh, yeah. And then somebody else changed it to the most expensive tier because too many people were using it to stream at once. And I was just like, what? I only shared it with my mom and my sister. What? How do you have it?
So, great way to prevent that. I kind of feel like an alternate headline to that article is Do Not Pay is about to get sued.
I think that it depends on which state that you're in, but some kinds of account sharing like that is totally legal. Like if I want to set up my mom with Netflix and she can use my Netflix account, that is a totally okay thing.
Then they're going to do something about those cookies.
Yeah.
They're going to make
it's like, oh, your IP address changed. You re-log in. It's like, oh.
That's the Netflix DRM just blacks my TV out every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
That is so infuriating.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I guess I'll just go download this somewhere else.
Netflix also doesn't work here in the office for a similar reason.
Problems with some people there?
No, it's their DRM, but it's complicated. But the I don't want to say on the internet, but their DRM is like, oh, this network is unusual. I was like, yeah, you're darn tootin'. So no Netflix for you.
In case you didn't notice, that was the beginning of the security section we've entered into. And another amazing security news. Now, if you use Facebook, you're wrong. You shouldn't do that. But I know it's a drug. You can't give it up. You need your fix. Firefox gives you a way to enjoy it more responsibly. This is like the methadone of Facebook.
Firefox 74 slams Facebook in solitary confinement. Confinement. Browser add-on stops social network stalking users across the web. Prompt to install enhanced extension is the first thing that you'll see. So Firefox 74, this is actually, it's not just Facebook. So this is, you know how there's that login to Facebook button across every website? That is what this is going to block. Also the like buttons. Facebook is on literally everything. There's a Facebook tracking pixel on stuff that may not even have a Facebook like button or login button. This blocks all of that. Also, and this is really bad news for the advertising industry, a lot of analytics software like Google Analytics and Adobe's analytics, the Adobe marketing thing, and Snowplow, and a lot of other things like that will let you have a first party domain that has their analytics software on it, but it's actually just a CNAME to something that those companies control. That is also starting to be blocked by default now, which is going to be a huge blow to the advertising industry. So things are about to get real interesting in advertising land.
It's an amazing arms race.
It really is.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, I don't think Firefox has spent nearly as much R&D stopping it as they've spent working around it.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's kind of nice. Asymmetrical warfare. That's how you want it to be. And the other thing about social media that just comes up over and over, and it's always good for a story, these stories usually end up in nonsense, but we'll put this one in social media, is how stupid people are when it comes to social media, because they're so desperate for that fix. They need that, you know, validation that they'll put things on there that really, really should be kept to themselves.
Drug traffickers, extortionists, and bank robbers keep posting clues to their crimes on Facebook. So you can just look through somebody's feed and it's like, wait, are those Spanish doubloons? How do you have Spanish doubloons? It's like, oh, we found them.
Obviously, dash cam videos, real obvious ones. This is someone who was just, they've blocked out the terrible things here. They just ratted themselves out. This is the same coat. This is a bank robbery. Not a smart move. And, you know, text post, it goes on and on. People will out themselves on Facebook or all the social media, Instagram, And they were interviewing a former police detective here, and he said, I wish that I had not retired because I could run an entire unit and we could never leave the building. We could get the same numbers I got as a detective just simply from looking at social media. It's amazing. So be careful about that. Especially if you're trapped at home, you're super bored. If you're going to try to break quarantine, don't
try to break quarantine. Come on. Actually,
you probably should put that on social media because you deserve to get caught if you're going to do that. Copyright claims are terrible. And even if you agree with the state of copyright as it is right now, you cannot agree with how it's being enforced because it's being enforced by mindless evil robots. And it's always a shoot first and ask questions later issue. And more often we get these stupid stories where they're shooting themselves in the foot because it's just too aggressive.
Bogus automated copyright claims by CBS blocked Super Tuesday speeches by Bernie Sanders, Mike Bloomberg, and Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden has always voted for anything that is pro-Hollywood.
He's a big copyright supporter.
And the Tech Dirt article author, I think, said it best when Joe got what he deserved.
You think he has any understanding of what
happened
here?
He has no clue.
Did you see the video where his eyes starts to close and he just rambles?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Joe Biden?
That might have been a micro seizure. That's bad.
Oh, man. Anyway, so CBS had what they call a pool camera, where this was one of those, I think this was one of those where like there was no people because of the thing. So it was being broadcast to everybody on the same feed. CBS did not host the feed. CBS simply connected to the feed and streamed it live. But because their copyright juggernaut is real time, as soon as their feed went out, it was like, I own this. I made this.
Yeah.
You cannot have this. So it was consuming from a feed that everybody else was consuming from. But as soon as it consumed it, it considered that it owned it.
Yeah.
And started to send out DMCA.
Yeah. So, you know, Bernie and Joe and the other Bloomberg, all of their speeches were taken down immediately and in real time. So like the Twitter feed and like the YouTube feed, all of it was turned off. CBS was the only one that worked. And that's like, you can't, there's no way to recover from that. Like that's really damaging.
There's no penalty for falsely claiming.
Yeah.
But I think this could be the best possible solution because if the major media companies are constantly like canceling each other out, then we will get a path to you know, dispute, and there might be a punishment for doing that.
Not with Joe. Joe doesn't remember.
It's looking devastatingly likely that Joe might be the next president.
I don't think he will be, and that's maybe worse.
Oh, I would way rather have. Listen, the sky has not fallen. I mean, it's kind of fallen now, but it's not Trump's fault. We can't put this at Trump's feet. With all of his failures, we can't put this at his feet. So I take another 4 years of him just like bumbling and nothing really happening and gridlock.
Please no.
Then Biden and God knows what, you know, him just like sleeping at the podium.
It's going to be Weekend at Bernie's, except it's going to be the president.
But what about Bernie's people? They vowed to burn cities when he doesn't get the nomination. He's not getting the nomination.
No, they didn't turn up to vote in the primary, so it's over now.
Interesting times. If we were not already embroiled in interesting times, we were guaranteed more come November. But over in China, we got to say, let's count our blessings because whatever we've got in power, it's not the Chinese Communist Party. And the Chinese Communist Party, we talk about, you know, CBS and their patent stuff. It's nothing compared to the security apparatus that's constantly monitoring everything over there. And the people, you know, when we say arms race, the arms race just to express yourself is constant in China.
Faux noodles and pandas. How China's social media users created a new language to beat government censorship on that thing that we can't talk about, ironically. So this is from Amnesty International. So if you want to read about Chinese social media and like the real-time stuff that's going on over there, you should read this article. It's not super long, and it's got some very specific detailed examples and sort of the social thing. But the author sort of concludes that, you know, it's got to be exhausting to keep up with the things that are not allowed to ask, because the censors are also into things like homonyms and, you know, asking sort of tongue-in-cheek things about different kinds of things that might be happening on a social level in China. And so the censors are clued in too. So you have to be one step ahead of the censors. And it's just, it seems like the whole thing has just got to be exhausting.
So some examples they gave was, you're not allowed to talk about the Red Cross in China because that relates to the thing that we're not allowed to talk about. And so they used the phrase Red 10 because the character for 10 is a cross or close enough. And F4 is apparently a boy band over there. So it's like, oh, they're talking about a boy band. But no, Resistance knows that F4 refers to four Chinese leaders.
The four horsemen of the Communist Party.
And so, but like you say, when people talk about limiting speech, what they really want, ultimately, is to limit thought.
Yeah.
Because let's, a word like retarded. You see, when we were growing up, that was the nice way of saying it. And it still means the same thing. But we've decided that it's not okay anymore. But what we really want to say, and not we, I'm not putting myself in that category, is you're not allowed to reference those people. That's not a thing you're allowed to talk about because it's, we don't want to hear you. It's negative. Don't say it. But you can't stop it. You can ban words, but we'll just call them red tens. That's red-tended. And in the corporatization of your beloved social media, a terrible blow for you Redditors out there.
Brands can now pay to trend on Reddit. This is an ad week, which every ad group reads pretty much, so everybody's going to know. Reddit is basically saying, hey, we need to make money. We are willing to do whatever to make money. Anybody got any of that yummy, delicious money?
I don't. It's kind of... I feel like the ask me anything has become that.
Yeah.
It's really just shilling.
Remember when Woody Harrelson was like, it went so bad. It was Rampart. It was his movie Rampart. And it was an ask me anything. And they were like, you know, what about your role in blah, blah, blah? And he's like, well, I'm only really here to talk about Rampart. And it was painfully obvious that Woody Harrelson was not there at all.
Yeah.
I'm here to talk about Rampart.
No. I think you see that on talk shows a lot, but they're also contractually obligated to do those things. And some of them do that just to fight against that. But you're getting paid tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds. You know what? Go on the late night show.
Or just show up on Reddit because it's like your movie should do well. Rampart did not do well. Spoiler alert.
I don't. Is that about the Bay Area transit thing? I read a book about that, the Rampart Crash. It's one of the most corrupt law enforcement agencies to ever exist. They basically like busted the gangs and they were like, we could do this.
We could run the drug cartel. Yeah, really. All right, yeah.
And speaking of doing stupid things on Instagram, promoting yourself, you know, it's a smart thing to do on social media, but there are times when you shouldn't.
Capital murder suspect accused in a bar shooting has promoted his Instagram handle during his drug arrest. Or during his arrest, not his drug arrest, just during his arrest. So police said a teen in connection with the shooting at Ventura that left two people dead on Sunday night will be facing capital murder charges. And he's like, here's my Instagram handle.
He kind of also admitted to it while they were perp walking him. Not advised. His lawyer, probably very unhappy with him right now.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I bet he got some follows. When he's paying $10 a day to use that crappy tablet in prison, do you think you can get Instagram on those tablets? Probably not.
Yeah. And we covered this one already, so that's the end of it.
Oh, did you do this last week?
Yep. Oh. Sorry.
That was a good one, too.
That's it for this episode of the news. What do we got Friday?
What haven't we done? We've done robot and... social, so we'll do security and nonsense.
Security and nonsense. We'll see you Friday. Stay safe. ...